Just start the show, Mark.
All right.
Welcome to El Clasico Podcastico.
Yes, it's El Clasico Podcastico.
There he is. Peyton McCann is joining me. Barcelona fan, Peyton McCann. Excited to be here?
I am the Barcelona fan of this podcast. Yes. And, you know, for those of you listening, you probably watched El Clasico. You know the results. Barcelona lost, so I will be your El Clasico cuck as we go through the review of this game. Unfortunately, we didn't have what it takes, but we're going to get into everything that happened in this game and more. I am joined, as always, by Mark Belinsky.
Yes, Real Madrid fan. Ecstatic. Mm-hmm. I'm a little woozy today because I got my shot.
Wow, everything's going your way.
Yeah, so not only, Saturday, got to watch Real Madrid win the El Clasico sweep in a season for the first time in 12 years. Last time we did it, Frank Rijkaard got the sack.
Yeah, was that 2010?
2008. And Pep, that was when Pep got installed.
Oh, wait.
So, hey. Maybe Koeman will get fired. Xavi will come in and it'll usher in a new era. Maybe this will be, you know, the volcano spreading its lava over the land, only for new growth to sprout.
It's very possible. Lovely alliteration. And I believe that you are right about that because gut reactions from the Barca camp. One, there's a soccer journalist, a football journalist who is friends with Koeman, a Dutch journalist who says Laporta sees Koeman as the last administration's coach and not his own. And of course, that's going to have a big impact after losing this El Clasico, getting swept, of course, as you mentioned, the first time since 2008. Not a good look for the new Barca coach that was appointed by the president who was arrested.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Koeman knew probably at a 90% chance of not making it through the season. He just wanted to coach Barcelona before he had that second coronary.
That's exactly right. It's a bucket list thing for Koeman.
Cross it off, baby.
Cross it off. Time to go motorcycle the Great Wall of China.
Get it all in. My goodness. If he didn't, I mean, good on him for not having a heart attack during this game. I couldn't have blamed him. What an exciting. I think this was the best in terms of how tight it was and how many chances for each side. This was the best one I've seen. And since Messi won it 3-2 in extra time and took his jersey off.
Yeah, what a great game that was. It's the only El Clasico I can remember.
4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's
2017,
right.
On my birthday, right before my birthday. What a great birthday gift. April 23rd, 2017, I believe. I remember it seared into my skull because it was like the 93rd plus 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had to like kick it away. And classic Real Madrid, we don't. We give you guys the ball back. Messi just tears down the middle of the field unmarked, scores the final goal to collect all 3 points. And you guys almost do it again, almost only to get the draw. But you guys almost won this one at the death, or almost drew it.
Almost won a point from the game. Yeah.
It would have felt like a loss for Real Madrid. A reminder coming in, Real Madrid were in the disadvantageous position. So Real Madrid started this game at 63 points, Barcelona 65, and
Atletico Madrid.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I was trying to come up with some sort of adjective for them.
Just rock falling off a cliff, Atletico Madrid. A pebble you're just kicking off and you just go, whoa, there it goes. It makes a little bloop sound and somebody
The lead car in a NASCAR race, its engine's on fire and it's missing two of its wheels.
Yeah. But it's still going.
there's like a lap to go, and it's a little.
Have you ever seen those NASCAR races where it slides over the finish line on fire?
yes, exactly.
You won.
Atletico Madrid is just trying to skid their way to that first place stop.
Too bad there is a lot of games left. Doesn't look like they're going to do it. They came in 1 point above Barcelona on 66. So 66, 65, 63. Madrid needed this win because the way Barcelona's been playing.
And Barcelona needed this win.
Barcelona needed the win too. But the way Barcelona's been playing, I mean, what was it, 20 out of 21, I think, unbeaten? Something crazy like that.
Yeah, I think we were 18 wins, one draw at this point. And incredible. Yeah, that streak is now broken. We were certainly humming, and that international break couldn't have come at a worse time for us. Of course, we went on that break after winning 5-1 and just a dominant performance over Real Sociedad. Came back from that the game before this against Real Valladolid on the Monday previous to the Saturday game. Kind of showed up with a lump in our throats against Real Valladolid. Absolutely. Lumps all over the place, left with some bumps and bruises as well, because we just eked out a 1-0 win with like a last minute Dembele clincher to skip away from that game by the seat of our pants. And then we showed up in the Alfredo Di Stefano on Saturday, hoping to claim that first place spot in La Liga. We would have had a 2-point gap over Atleti had we won this one.
Yeah, it was there. It was there. And this is the first classical played in, of course, the Alfredo Di Stefano, the training ground that is now the new White House with the Bernabeu under construction for a couple years still. It's supposed to be done in 2022, 2023. The holds 90,000. We'll hold like a 90,000 plus, I think, when it's done. But the Alfredo Di Stefano holds about 6,000. And of course, under pandemic, had about 200 people watching.
Yeah, No thousand.
Couple hundred journalists, security guards, that kind of deal, watching the El Clasico, which felt wrong. Mm-hmm. But actually, honestly, once the action started, you got that FIFA fake crowd sound. Almost don't notice.
Hey, and you got to imagine, as a crowd, if it was there, many of them would have died of pneumonia.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's the other crazy thing. The rain was the most intense I've ever seen during a soccer game.
It was a storm. It was a rain storm. And it was like, you know, obviously, you play football in any condition, but sometimes maybe wait it out. Maybe give the players an hour and see if it calms down.
Yeah, so that's what I know. So baseball, right? They stop.
Yes.
And they wait. Rain delays. Anybody who's American watches baseball, they wait for the rain to die down, and then they'll play again. Soccer, I've never seen them stop.
No.
So it's just not a thing, I guess?
No, the only time the weather affects gameplay is when it's too hot and they take like a 5-minute break during each half.
Yeah, the cooling break. Like, I remember U.S. men's national team playing in like 6 inches of snow once.
Oh, yeah, against Costa Rica.
Yeah,
and they were pissed.
Yeah. I think we ended up losing. It was just, yeah, farcical conditions as it was here in the second half. Probably somewhat to blame for the chaotic play and dozens of missed opportunities, which we'll do our walkthrough. But really an incredible game in general, back and forth the whole time. And then the lineups were interesting. Of course, Real Madrid coming in hobbled, missing three out of our four defenders. Of course, Carvajal out. He's been out for a long time. Nearing fitness. Some thought he might be ready, but out again. So Lucas Vazquez starting. Of course, the captain, my captain, Sergio Ramos, hurt again with that calf injury. came back from that knee surgery just to get injured basically right again with Spain. So thanks again, international break. Missing him, and then missing Rafael Varane, top defender, one of our best players, of course, filled with COVID on the eve of the Liverpool match. So misses the three biggest matches of the season. So we're starting Nacho, Militao, and Vasquez, and then Mendy, the rock, at the back, who was not a rock in this game. We'll talk about his mistakes. We had Casemiro in the middle, and then ESPN claims we played a 4-1-4-1. I'm not sure that's right, but we had Vinny. They claim we had Benzema up top, Vinny, Cruz, Modric, Valverde, kind of a second forward line, Case in the middle, and then Mendy, Nacho, Militao, Vasquez, with, of course, Thibaut at the back. Yeah, I don't know. For sure, it was an attacking formation. The interesting thing to me was
Valverde. Why would you call that a 4-1-4-1 and not just a 4-3-3?
Yeah, I don't know, because Valverde played pretty far back, honestly. I mean, we were defending most of the game.
Right.
But the big thing for me, obviously, was I thought Asensio was going to play because he's been on one. Just been crushing it. But Zidane, astute, Valverde is the Barcelona killer.
He is our Achilles heel, man. He is. And Zidane made a coach's decision.
I think they give Valverde a lock of Messi's hair to smell before the game, and he goes, get him. Go get him.
Yeah, he is. They put him on him like an attack dog.
Well, man, he just loves playing you guys. He has terrorized you guys the last three times he's played you, and three wins. So good on Fede. Another great game. And Vinny was the other key on that left wing.
Can I just say, Mark, on that point, three straight El Clasico losses. We mentioned the first time a manager has been swept in a season since 2008. The last time Barcelona lost three straight El Clasicos, 43 years ago.
Yeah. 1978. I was negative 12.
Oof.
It was a while ago.
Crazy.
Yeah. I was pretty excited with who Real Madrid had out there. What did you think about Barcelona's lineup?
Well, it's the lineup I predicted. It's the lineup that I said was going to be out there. And I'm sorry, because it didn't work. It wasn't the formation that we should not have, that we should have come out in. ESPN has this as a 3-4-2-1, which again is a little weird. I don't know why they say that. You couldn't say Dembele was really playing a nine. And if he was, it certainly didn't show on the pitch that he was playing the nine. But we had, of course, Ter Stegen in goal from left to right, across the back, Longley on the left. The decision of the day for Koeman, one of two decisions to make, basically, starting Ronald Araujo, the 22-year-old Uruguayan, in the center of that center back position. A lot of people expected him to play Frankie de Jong there because de Jong has served us well in that position over the last few games. But he went with the big Uruguayan in the back, who was not without his faults, a very up and down game for the Uruguayan in the center back there. And then to his right, Oscar Mingueza, again, some good, some bad overall. Good performance. He got us our only goal of the game.
Wasn't his fault.
No. And ahead of him, and actually faster than Vinicius, as clocked during the game, which was fascinating.
Bro, that's got to be wrong.
Yeah, it was like 34.8 for Oscar Mingueza and 34 flat for Vinny. And then the midfield,
20 miles an hour. That's insane.
I'm just going to read this because to me, we ran a 3-5-2. For whatever reason, they have a 3-4-2-1 on ESPN. But we had a 3-5-2 going on to start, which was expected. From left to right across the midfield, we have Jordi Alba, who, by God, we will talk about today. Disparagingly so, unfortunately. Alba on the left wing back position. To his right in the midfield, Pedri. Who I noted would be a key player in this game, and he would prove to be. And to his right, in the very center of that midfield, would be Sergi Busquets. To his right, playing the right mid, is Frankie de Jong, seeing what he can do up there, which it turned out was not much. Wow. And then, yeah, I mean, the most silent game from Frankie de Jong I've seen, like, in a Barcelona uniform, I feel.
Didn't even notice him.
Didn't know, like, honestly, he was out there the whole time. Didn't notice him. And then right wing back, Sergiño Dest, the American. Again, maybe the worst performance so far in a Barca kit. At least his worst this year. Earlier in the season, you know, he had some up and downs. He had some issues with his confidence. He was on a roll. He's been scoring, had a great international break with the U.S., and then comes here and eats his shoe against Real Madrid. Ahead of him in the front two, we have Dembele on the left, who now people are saying, let's go ahead and sell him after this game. And then Messi, of course, on the right, our only shining light. I mean, he's always going to be our best player. So he did what he could. And it wasn't much, and I'll give credit to, I mean, where it's due, Real Madrid, Nacho and Valverde both just shut Messi down.
Yeah, and Militao, too, was Militao, just every, yeah. He was just everywhere when
How
we needed a clearance.
How dare you guys have those two on your bench now, Militao and Nacho?
Man.
It's ridiculous.
They've been absolutely massive. I was very worried about them. They were one of my keys, Eder Militao versus Messi, and Militao was just every time I was like, oh, Messi's in the box. Oh, and there he is. There's Militao.
What is it, Mark? Because we've seen how Militao and Nacho play normally. Like, maybe not normally, but often. Terribly.
Gambling. And, yeah. Unnecessary gambling. Not tracking their man. There was none of that.
For whatever reason, Real Madrid has the uncanny ability, maybe just under Zidane, where they show up in big games, and they find ways to win big competitive games, which is the opposite of what Ronald Koeman does. This season so far, to put it into perspective, Ronald Koeman has lost basically every important contest of the season. He's lost all of our big games. 0-1 loss to Atletico Madrid earlier in the season. Losing 2-0 away to Juventus, who is not a good team. Then losing 0-3 at home to Juventus, which meant we placed second in the table in Champions League and had to play PSG. So we lost 5-0.
Wait, did you guys beat Juve one time? I thought you beat them 2-0. And then you lost 3-0.
That's right. That's right. We lost 3-0 at home. And then that meant we had to play second in the table, had to play PSG. And we all know how that turned out. 5-1 on aggregate, not to mention the loss to Athletic Bilbao in the Spanish Super Cup semis. So basically every big contest where real implications are up for grabs, we have dropped.
Yeah. And
that's coaching, right?
Yeah. Must have something to do with it because Sid Lowe today had a great article in The Guardian about Zidane basically saying he felt like a caged animal when he was sick with COVID. And when all the rumors were swirling about him being fired, this was when we had just lost to like Levante. We had lost to Cadiz, Alaves, Shakhtar twice, pretty not that far in the rearview mirror. People were calling for his head. We were 10 points behind Atleti. Atleti had a game in hand. So we were essentially 13 points behind. And Zidane came out, right? He came out with this press conference right before that next game. And he was like, you don't think we're going to fight? What do you think we are? The league's not over. You all think it's over. It's not over. The players don't think it's over. I don't think it's over. And when did we win? He said, when did we win the league, huh? Last year. We won it last year, not 10 years ago. And I watched the press conference. I was like, I've never seen this. Zidane, never.
You just discussed this. We both have in the show. Zidane plays better or works better when he's backed into a corner like that.
Yeah, you don't want him. He's like a cat. You don't want to back him into a corner because those claws are coming out.
That's right.
You're going to bleed. Because since then, Real Madrid, 11 wins, 2 draws in the last 13 games. And this game was just incredible. Probably the best one of the year. Well, you ready to go through it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's take you through it. So, the interesting thing here was Gil Manzano, who oversaw the 4-1 loss against Valencia for Real Madrid, which saw 3 penalties, 2 of them highly dubious calls.
Record-breaking.
Against Real Madrid, and we lost 4-1. So really funny, because LaHose, our favorite ref, Mathieu LaHose, he got injured before the match. So we saw Gil Manzano, which would, of course, have interesting implications. And actually, Barcelona had the first chance here. First 10 minutes were very chaotic. Really, nobody could get hold of the ball. But Casemiro is caught in between Messi and Pedri. He finds himself really in a bad spot. Pedri finds Messi, and Messi's running at Real Madrid's back line. Vasquez is just mesmerized by Messi. He pulls in, totally forgets about Jordi Alba, who you might want to remember. And then Messi just plays this brilliant ball. It's one of those great balls. I love the ones that are inside of the defender.
Oh, yeah. So it just catches him at the wrong angle. For some reason, it seems like, won't the defender just turn and intercept that? But they can't.
It just takes such a cojones to play those balls, where it seems like the defender can just get it. But no, it's perfectly into Alba. But Alba just not good enough.
No.
He has Dembele far post, but it's too close to Thibaut, and he does a great job to cut it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thibaut gets down really nicely to get there. It's a dangerous ball, but Courtois got the experience and the skills to handle that.
Yeah, but yeah, Messi looks dangerous early. 11th minute, Araujo. Real Madrid comes right back. They actually, I don't even know who caused the break, because they don't get the camera back quick enough. Araujo, there's a corner. Araujo has to defend it, and he gets a bicycle kick clearance.
Yeah, it's a really acrobatic.
Yeah, that man, he can jump. He had this volleyed goal earlier in the year. He's got that coordination.
He is. He's an exciting young prospect. And remember, this is his first game back from injury, so he isn't really fully in form yet.
Yeah, no, looked fine there, though. And then 14th minute, moment of the game, Cruz finds Valverde near our own box. So Valverde's about 30 yards down the field. And then just absolutely turns on the Jets, sets off like the gazelle that he is, beats Pedri. I mean, not even a challenge, really. And then Alba, same.
Well, it's Alba is the one who comes up at the half, and it's not like he really challenges for the ball. He just sprints away from his man to the ball, and then he's like, oh, okay, yeah, go ahead and go.
I mean, what is that defense? And then, so he beats those two guys. And then what he does is he ends up sucking long layout of position, Valverde does. So what happens is now Vasquez is wide open on the right wing, and Benzema is now open, streaking towards the near post. Valverde passes to Lucas, and Lucas, it's a great ball in for Ben's near post, but looks well covered by Araujo. So I'm thinking, might be a shot, but probably going to get blocked. But Benzema tries a bit of magic. It comes up. It's a back heel, side foot finish. Ter Stegen gets a hand to it, but it's not enough. How he got the power on it from that position, it's a tough angle. He's going away from the goal. And he manages to squeak it in. Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what a classy finish from Karim Benzema. Really great striker. He's been so on fire for you guys this season. But for me, as a Barcelona fan, this is Jordi Alba's fault. One, for leaving Vasquez all alone there on the wing, for making a stupid challenge.
Valverde wasn't going anywhere anyway. Araujo had come up on him.
Yeah, there are already two defenders in position to pick
Long
him up.
If
he does progress, Long lays there at the line. For whatever reason, Alba decides to take a gamble and doesn't commit to it. And then he doesn't commit to getting back once he's made the mistake. So Vasquez ends up getting it on the wing, and Jordi Alba's kind of jogging back to see what's going to happen. Benz just makes a great run too across the face of that box. Araujo's tracking him, but Benzema does a bit of a hesitation where he takes a couple just medium strides before giving that extra little burst. So it lulls Araujo a little bit, thinking, okay, he's coming for that header center of the box. And then Benz turns on the Jets, puts the wheels on for that extra 10 yards, gets in front of Araujo to get that position, and then an immaculate finish.
Brilliant. Well done. Yeah. And it was, had a lot to do, as mentioned, but just a bit of magic. Second best goal of the season for me. I still think Vinny's last week was better.
People are giving. Oh yeah. Yeah. That was incredible.
The 60-yard pass from Cruz.
I love that. That's
close second. This is a close second.
But this is class. I mean, yeah, what a finish. Elegant finish from Benzema. Ter Stegen getting some flack on this as well. People are saying he should have gotten down to it. I don't think so. That's a really hard goal to stop. Maybe he could have done better, as I do believe he's the best keeper in the world. But it's a tough goal. You can't put that on Ter Stegen at all. It's a little bit on Araujo for not being able to follow Benz all the way through in the box and getting tighter on him. But it's a good run by Benz. Ultimately, for me as a Barca fan, that one belongs to Jordi Alba.
Yeah. And if you're an NBA fan, it's like it's a little bit like Damian Lillard making a step back three from like 30 feet. Like you're not like, OK, like you were on him. It's not necessarily the defense's fault.
Right.
There, nothing you can do, really. Great goal. 1-0 Real Madrid. And then 16th minute. Another big chance, kind of, for Barcelona. Messi, one of his best moments of the game, dribbles through everyone to the goal line. Brilliant control. It's a delicious chip across the box. I am terrified. Dembele, I think it whizzed off his hair. Just not
I see him. I thought it was going to be at least headed on goal. I saw him flash across just in that little second. And it looked like it was a perfect pass. Dembele was just slightly late on the headbutt to get that ball on goal and direct it somewhere on frame. And unfortunately, lets it skip wide. But yeah, that was a great opportunity for us. Good job. I mean, Messi making everything happen as we depend on him to do under Koeman.
Saw this a lot in this game. It was these crosses looked very dangerous, and it was just cut out. There's six or seven of them.
Messi gets frustrated when we play against teams with eight guys in the box.
Yeah, Real Madrid, yeah, that 4-1-4-1 that ESPN claimed we had turned into like a 10-1 a lot.
It got real compact.
and Real Madrid, of course, 31% possession.
Oh, yeah. Of course, and that was a key to the game, as I discussed, that I wanted a lot of possession, but it needed to be meaningful. I made sure to say it had to be meaningful possession, looking for passes, and it mostly wasn't that, especially in the first half.
Yeah, and I mean, how many times did Real Madrid catch you guys on the break? 20th minute, Vinny. Vinny is so fast. He did this a couple times in the first half. He's so fast that guys don't realize how little time they have on the ball, and he'll close you down and steal it.
yeah, absolutely.
He almost got Araujo, and then he did get Longley right in his own box, but Modric's shot was blocked. And then a 22nd minute on the break again, Real Madrid. Case taken by Busi, yellow card, but Benzema takes a free kick. Holy hell. Not Messi exactly on that free kick. Missed it by about 10 yards.
This is the one that got Sky. This isn't the yellow on Pedri?
No. Oh, okay.
I think I thought it was foul.
It might have been Pedri.
Yeah. Pedri gets a yellow for that one as he's trying to track back, and he gets Casemiro.
Yeah.
That's the yellow for Pedri there, which, I mean, didn't subdue him very much defensively, but he didn't really show up at all this game. But yeah, Ben's. What a terrible free kick.
I was like, ooh, this is a great opportunity. No, oh, never mind.
As good as that first goal was, he balanced it out.
Yikes, for sure. 26th minute. Messi gives it away to Modric, who nips in, and then Case gets it to Vinny. My goodness, Vinicius Jr. taps it ahead of Minguesa like he's not there. Kicks incredible. It around. Does the Gareth Bale kind of...
And not just Minguesa, Araujo as well. Araujo's like coming over to help Minguesa out, and they're communicating. Araujo's like, "Don't worry, I'm here for you." And then he's like, "What'd you say?"
And, I'm sorry.
Just one touch, and I'm past you both.
Absolutely, taps it 20 yards ahead and catches up to it. He is just so terrifying on the counterattack. Araujo has to bring him down just at the edge of the box. Lucky that wasn't a penalty.
I thought it was a pen live. I thought that was in the box.
Ooh, I'm kind of mad because I'm like, we're probably not going to do anything with this free kick. We saw what Benzema just did, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Toni Kroos.
You forgot you had a robot on your team.
Yes, I forgot. I was like, oh, thank goodness. German engineering. Sized it up perfectly, calibrated. The mechanic that was working on him did a great job pregame because he got this one exactly right. Toni Kroos from 22 yards. Kicks it between, there's a wall with four guys, Barcelona set up. Then there's about a two-yard gap. Then there's Sergiño Dest. So there's 2 yards in there to hit it in between. Toni hits that open spot mostly, but he also hits Sergiño, who deflects it. And then it deflects again off of Alba's face into the goal. So double deflection. I don't care. It's I don't know. Is this Dest's fault, really?
Yes, it is. It is Dest's fault for being cowardly
in the face of
a German machine free kick. Turning your back is a cardinal sin. They tell you that in elementary school football lessons. You don't turn your back. You stay square. If Dest stays square, it hits off his chest and it drops either to his feet or harmlessly back, like, to the wall. But by turning your back, you're automatically giving it a ping pong deflection, like a pinball deflection.
Right. You don't know where it's going
to
go.
You have no idea where it's going to go. You're literally turning your back to the ball saying, I don't know where this is going. I just don't want to get hurt by it. So he jumps, turns his back. Jordi Alba is in the exact right spot. Yeah. He is where he needs to be. Unfortunately, he's kind of still taking a step back as that ball gets deflected, and he can't step up to head it off of the goal line. So instead, he just sort of smacks it off his forehead into the goal. Can't really deflect it. Nothing Ter Stegen could do about that one. It was a lucky goal, but
Cruz did find that spot. He was aiming for that spot, it seemed like.
It's a dangerous place to put a ball in. But if you're doing your job as a defender, Sergiño Dest should have stayed square. And that's what gave the goal.
Yeah. And it's a reminder, it was Vinny on the break that caused this. He was just absolutely tearing you guys apart all game.
He was. And Araujo, who gave up the free kick, who also gave up Benz's run on that first goal. So a couple down plays for Araujo leads to 2 goals for Real Madrid.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2-0 Real Madrid. So if we could just get one more, this game would be in the bag. 30th minute, Dembele gives it away. Cruz knows where to pass it. Good Lord. Into space. Vinny's onto it. To Benz. Back to Vinny. Once again, just cooking you guys in the box. He's double teamed by Araujo and Longley. Boosie grabs some jersey. No penalty. Again, very stupid because Vinny's going nowhere. He's at the goal line, basically. It's a soft one, but nothing from Manzano.
But it's something that you would have seen in real time. Like, you needed freeze frame to see that Busquets had grabbed the back of his jersey when he and Araujo were tag-teaming him to the ground.
I thought probably nothing.
The real part of this play that made us look like idiots was Oscar Mingueza just flailing at Vinicius as he's running towards the goal. Mingueza's just kicking at air as Vinicius is flying by him.
Yeah, I mean, Araujo and Longley were the fire crew here. They were just trying to do anything they could, and Busquets. That's Mingueza's fault. But yeah, third or fourth time already, we've seen Vinny just get his way. And then 34th minute, a moment for Lucas. It's a big tackle. Messi's on the run. It's poked away by Lucas Vasquez. Mm-hmm. And then
Vinny's free again.
Yeah, exactly. It's to Modric. It falls to Modric outside of the boot. Pass to Benz, who one times it back to Modric. And then Modric, an absolute dagger ball. This was that left-footed one on the ground through to Vinny. Vinny's in once again. Oh. And it's through three defenders, that ball. Vinny. Oh, no. Vinny then passes it through three defenders to Fede. On the
Who's on the opposite side of the field? Yeah, he changes field. Yeah,
opposite side of the box. It was a great ball by Vinny. I think it was outside of the boot, and that so Fede. It's a tough angle, but he lines it up, and you know, I was like, this is it. Inside the box. He's made a couple of these this year, and he just absolutely pastes a shot. Beats Ter Stegen, and just can't beat. The post and the post is it's vibrating.
I thought that one was in for sure because I see Valverde with the ball just measuring up his shot, like changing his stride to get in the form, and I see like 10 yards between the far post and Ter Stegen that Valverde has to slot it in.
Oh, but it hits off the post and it falls right to Lucas Vazquez, who started the move with the tackle and Messi. All he's got to do is basically just put it on frame, but he does put it on frame, but it's right at a grateful Marc-Andre.
Yeah, Ter Stegen sort of left helpless after diving after the Valverde shot. It falls to Vazquez, and Ter Stegen just lays out to get that last stop. Luckily, it was right at him. Otherwise, 3-0.
That's got to be 3-0, doesn't it?
I thought it was. I thought the half was going to end 4-0.
And a reminder, Real Madrid, 37% possession at this point. So total counterattack.
We have, legitimately, 67% possession, and we aren't doing anything with it. Not only are we not doing anything with it, as soon as we lose it, we're beat.
Yeah, it's like one touch, and Madrid is in each of these times. 39th minute, though, you guys get some... movement here at the end of the half, get some chances. Messi, brilliant dribble by Cruz. Oh, just pretty on the edge of the box. Absolutely bamboozles him. Finds Dembele in the box, and there's a penalty shout. Tackle by Mendy. Little bit of contact on the feet, but I don't know that Dembele ever actually touches this ball.
No, yeah, for me, that I agree with you. I don't think he ever got onto it. So
I was watching it. I was like, I don't think he actually ever touched it. Mendy, yeah, rode his luck a couple times in this game.
He did.
And then right after that, literally right after it, Lucas and Busquets are battling for a 50-50 ball. And oh, there's a lot of knees.
That looks painful. That hurt me watching.
Yeah, he just, I don't want to see that again.
By the way, you do know the result of that challenge, don't you?
Vazquez out for the year.
Vazquez sprained knee, out for season. Pedri is currently being recruited by Liverpool. They are apparently going all out, gung-ho, on buying the 18-year-old this summer. Please do not sell it.
Good luck with that. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But
I'd be surprised. I mean, freaking Lucas Vazquez, secret agent, Zidane's teacher's pet.
I know. It's kind of crazy. And he's done such a good job for us this year. I make fun of him. I've made fun of him in past years. But he's been actually good this year.
Since we've been doing this podcast, he's improved.
Modric kicks it away. It kind of has a high boot, but... And Jordi Alba goes down like Modric has just cleated him in the face. And I'm like, oh, no. Was that anything? So Jordi Alba wins the foul. Modric helps him up. Jordi Alba's complaining to Modric. And then you look back. They show the replay. Modric didn't touch him.
I think Modric got contact on Jordi's chest when he was going for it. Alba instinctively was like, ooh!
My face. He's grabbing his face. The ball did hit him in the face. I don't know. It's a tough ball, I guess.
This is what I hate. And Jordi Alba, we'll talk about more. I just want to give you this statistic, Mark. I wrote this down before we started this podcast because Jordi Alba, 9 of Jordi's last 12 yellow cards have been only for complaining to the referee. 9 of his last 12, Mark.
What a stat. 75%. What a stat. And yellow cards have real significance. You get suspended for those.
He's about to have a second suspension for complaining alone.
Oh my God.
This is why he would be a lawyer.
Unbelievable. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But I just love the complaining to Modric as Modric is helping him up.
And Modric, I mean, just, well, he, at least I imagine, the nicest guy.
Yeah. He seems pretty nice. And then 41st minute. Yeah, you guys got a good little run here at the very end of the first half. Messi shot block. Mm-hmm. Dembele gets it deep in the box. I thought he'd get a shot off, but he's covered. Militao Nacho are up his butt all over guys this game in the box. And then 43rd minute, sad story. Odriozola comes on for the first time. I forgot we had him. I'll be honest.
He looked a little perplexed.
Oh, me? Oh,
me?
Oh, shit.
What?
Sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I didn't think so. He has to play. Lucas Vasquez is off. And then immediately, shit goes down. 45th minute plus two. Dest tries a cross. Mendy cuts it out, but it's back to Dest. Hits off Dest, but the corner is given.
Yeah, that was lucky.
Lucky for Barcelona. I just remember thinking, I don't know why my brain always calls these, but my brain was like, uh-oh, I hope nothing happens because these lucky corners, and you never know. It's always seems to be off the ill-begotten corners always seem to be the ones where you get a great chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know you got a break, so you got to take advantage of it, capitalize on that situation. Also, it's the last play of the half, basically, and everyone knows it.
And it's just a heartbreaker to give one up here. It just guts the team that's up, and a lot of times it sets the other team up for the second half.
Completely changes the halftime talk.
Yeah. And Messi comes within about 5 inches, lines it up. Thibaut is coming actually up for it, so totally misplays it. Doesn't think Messi is going for the Olympico. Which, for those of you who don't know, means scoring directly from a corner.
Mm-hmm. The classic Olympico that was coined by the Brazilians. The Olympico, the corner kick goal.
Yes. Thibaut totally misreads it. And all he can do is stare in horror, of which there is a great Last Supper-esque photo.
Yes. Someone needs to paint that because it is Last Supper.
We'll share it. Did you share it?
I didn't share it, but we'll tweet
it. Okay, we will. We'll share it with everyone. It's incredible. There's about 8 players with different reactions as the ball hits offside the outside of the post to safety.
Mm. That was so close. And it was one of those things where I didn't have enough time to be disappointed that didn't go in because I was so shocked that the attempt was even made. That would have been, I mean, the El Clasico goal for the ages to go down in history. I mean, Benz with his great first goal, no one would have talked about it had that gone in.
No, I don't think Messi's ever gotten an Olympico either.
He hasn't, but he has tried. This is like the third or fourth time I've seen him attempt the effort.
Cruz has one. He got one last year.
And Messi in training does it consistently.
Yeah, man. So close. And then Ray Hudson, I have to mention this, ice cold. He says Tiger could learn a thing or two about how to take a corner. Damn, Ray. Jeez.
Wow.
Guy just almost died in a car accident.
That's true.
Which might have been his fault, but still.
87 in a 45. Who's counting?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not advised, but ice cold.
He's a professional athlete.
Yeah, so funny. Ray does not hold
Hey, speaking of which, congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama on the Masters win over the weekend. Yeah, first Japanese ever.
Good for him. And then right at the end of the first half, still, Usman, one hopper off the corner. There's a corner taken right after that for that other corner. Takes a bounce to a wide open Messi far post. Further review, he hits it down with his arm.
It's a total handball.
Yeah, but it was a shot on goal. So probably would have been called back. But the reason I mention it, Thibaut's first save of the half.
And well saved it was to get down on that. Good reaction save. That's a tough one. It would have been called back had it gone in. But still, still, I thought, oh, frick, you know, gave me that little boost before the end of the half. Thought maybe we'll get one back. But
there was some activity, though, before the end of the half. Mm-hmm. And then Koeman, big change halftime, coming on. Dest, unceremoniously dumped for Griezmann.
Yeah, Antoine Griezmann comes on at the half for Sergiño Dest. Ronald Koeman admits that he made a mistake with his starting lineup and adjusts, brings on Antoine Griezmann, who, I mean, for all his faults, we know he's not a finisher, but at least for Barcelona. For France, impeccable. But for Barcelona, cannot do it. Exactly. So he brings on Antoine Griezmann for Sergiño Dest, who had, I mean, a shambolic performance in that first half by his standards. Hopefully it doesn't affect him too much, but he comes on, Antoine Griezmann. So we change our formation as well. Drop from that 3-5-2 into a 4-3-3, with Alba dropping back to the left back position. And it turns out it's a good move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get to it, but there's immediately some chances. Griezmann immediately makes a chance for Messi, but it's just cut out 47th minute before he can square for shot. Once again, it's Nacho and Militao tag teaming him.
God, just so close. So many of these things, even with like Dembele, who's also getting a lot of criticism from this game for his inability to do things with the ball in that final third. He got it in a lot of tough situations.
Yeah.
Deep in the box, back to the goal with two defenders between him and the goal. So it's like, what really do you expect him to do there?
Yeah, 48th minute. That's exactly what happened. Militao there again to cut it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, is he supposed to like nutmeg this both of them? And
yeah, is that a one-time back heel? I mean, he's not Benzema, for God's sakes.
Yeah, so a lot to ask. Real Madrid just extremely organized, I would say, on the night.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, far more than we were, and that's a coaching thing.
Yeah.
Unless it's just the players, and we're just seeing ghosts of big games past, because apparently we have been haunted by Roma and by Liverpool for the last 4 years.
Sure seems to be the case. And then 50th minute, God once again goes, I'm just going to throw a wrench in this whole deal. as you said a couple of times with the Real Madrid's game, of course, you'll remember a couple weeks back, Real Madrid had a game where it just, yeah, like 60th minute, just the skies opened up. Thibaut almost flubbed it to give away some points. Once again,
it was so weird because they keep saying in the first half, 90% chance of rain. You're like, oh, it's probably going to rain in the second half. And then the second half starts, you're like, oh, I guess it is raining. And then it gets to that point, and you're like, what the hell is going on?
What the fuck? I can't see the field.
Is this real?
It got so bad that the fan projections, you know, they project the little colors onto the stands, look like it's fans. Yes. Those are affected, I guess, by weather because they were all... the fans were dead, I guess.
Yeah, that's so weird. I didn't know that it had anything to do with that.
It was swirling. Yeah, it screws up the projection or something, and it was screwing up the game.
For those listening, like the equivalent to that in like American football would be not being able to see the first down marker, like a yellow line on the field because of rain.
Yeah. And I think you do.
It was
see
a monsoon.
This.
A monsoon, Mark.
It was incredible. The players were absolutely soaked. And then there were chances galore. 53rd minute. Pedri dispossessed. Benzema on the break. Friends a wide open Toni Kroos, who goes, I got this from 30 yards. Tries a first time shot. Audacious. So that could have been our fourth. I will say, because I think Valverde should have made that.
It's shocking. Kroos will never miss a pass by that much. So why a shot?
I know. It's weird. It's just different in your brain, I guess.
It is.
And then 55th minute, Antoine, in his contract, it states, you must miss a sitter embarrassingly one times a game. So Antoine does his duty. De Jong, actually, this is the one moment he had at this game, popped up. Mm-hmm. He's in between a couple of defenders closing on him. Plays a brilliant ball around all of them. But, Antoine, half a step offside. 2 yards out. Missed by three.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, he misses the shot, but he splits the difference by also being offside.
Yeah.
So
it
works out.
Saved himself the embarrassment.
Don't worry. I didn't just horribly miss a shot. I was offsides. It wouldn't have counted anyways. It would have caused more heartbreak.
Breathe.
I think Griezmann knew he was offsides, and he gave the Barcelona fans the benefit of just kicking it out and not getting our hopes up.
There you go. Yeah, it was for you.
Yeah, that glass you, really. Half full.
There you go. And then 57th minute, the glass tips over. Fede, trapped on the sideline, pokes it through two defenders. What a pass. Suddenly we're on the break once again. Casemiro, it's 4-on-2. Odriozola, come on, baby. Just misses Benz on the break, and it dribbles wide. And then there's a right after this. It's the same minute, 57 minute giveaway in Barcelona's box. Madrid on the break again. No challenge on Benzema, but Benzema does the cruise. And at this point, we're just hunting for stats.
Right.
So Benz is like, I got this from about 25 yards. Audacious left foot shot. Well, over. Come on, guys. Put the game away here, boys.
It was from like just outside the box, but yeah, it was
maybe
a left.
20.
Yeah. Left-footed shot that just kept rising and going further left.
Yeah, it's just like better options are available here, though, on a bunch of these. And we're misplaying him, and I'm getting scared. And, of course, my fears are realized. 3 minutes later, Valverde finds himself guarding both Messi and Jordi Alba, and he splits the difference and goes, okay, I'll guard neither. Messi is able to play Alba in. It's a great pass. Alba has all the time in the world to find a dangerous cross. And Griezmann, if he's done nothing else, he knows how to miss a ball.
This is it. This is what Griezmann contributes. He acts like he's part of the team to take up space and draw defenders away from the real players on the pitch.
Yes.
That's what Griezmann does.
So, yeah, does what he does best. Avoids the ball like he's allergic to it. Dummies, does a split, a jumping split. Nacho's on De Jong, Eder's on Antoine, and Mendy is watching the football.
Enjoying the game.
Yeah, taking it all in. And it goes, oh, shit. I'm supposed to guard that dude with the ponytail. He does not. Mingueza sneaks in, and it got to be said, it's a nice finish in a squall, hurricane-like conditions. Side foots at home, 2-1.
Yes, a great finish from Oscar Mingueza to put that one away. A weird, he had to really angle his foot and crane that like side half volley kick to put it on target. It's more than Griezmann would have done with the opportunity. And at least we got that one in. Nothing Courtois could have done about this. Great finish from young Oscar Mingueza. We know he had his troubles, especially in the first half with Vinny and everything on those breaks. But this was great. He's been good for us going forward. He's a promising young talent. Part of that youth squad that's going to shape our team for the next 10 years. He's a Catalan man. His sister, the Barca Femeni star at just 17 years old. So really promising young talent for us. Great goal. Glad we could get that one, and we needed it.
Absolutely. And, yeah, hey, the dummy is what drew Thibaut towards the near post. And made Mingueza so wide open to finish off. So
Courtois saw Griezmann going for the ball and thought, I'll just go grab the ball for a goal kick now. And was going that way.
He'll dribble this right to me and I'll snag it. Yeah.
Exactly. But yes, it fell to Oscar Mingueza, who I am wearing this hairstyle in honor of today.
Yes, got the man bun going of the only goal scorer. And then 61st minute, Fede off. Marco Asensio on a great shift for Fede, as we mentioned. He was everywhere, terrorizing the Barcelona defense. Maybe not quite as good in defense, but to be expected.
That was Oscar's first La Liga goal, by the way. I just want to point out.
Oh, yeah. Good for Oscar. Congrats. And he immediately fills his pants because Real Madrid are once again on the break. 61st minute. Dembele fails to cut out Modric's ball to Mendy. Mingueza falls down.
Yeah, it's a great pass from Modric to start that off. And then Mingueza acts like his foot's nailed to the ground when he tries to make that
thing. I can't move.
Ugh, embarrassing.
The ball, Vinny is in. But his ball across the box is deflected by Rao, and I think this is a goal.
Like, not another deflected goal. God damn it.
Vinny. Ter Stegen is on the other side of the box getting ready to defend the cross. So he is totally out of position, and the ball almost squirts in, but it just goes off the outside of the post.
Thank God, because Araujo would have been on suicide watch.
Unreal, man. Another chance gone begging. What is this? We could have had five by now. 63rd minute. Alba. Messi once again.
Classic.
All in. He's doing this all game with six or seven of these, I think, actually, where he feeds Alba in after drawing the defense, and it's a really dangerous position, but Alba just kept screwing up these crosses.
I mean, Messi's doing what he can. He's breaking through that line, sending Alba on those runs. What we're missing is like a Luis Suarez, like a number nine that can get in the mix and finish shots like these.
Yeah.
But when Alba gets down that baseline, so he has Dembele and Griezmann like on the goal line, basically making these runs, and then Pedri unmarked on the edge of the 6-yard box, like calling for the ball. Alba either doesn't see him or just doesn't give him the pass and tries to force it directly through, which deflects it and puts it out of play for like a,
yeah.
For, and I mean, for Mendy to clear.
Credit to Thibaut. He just cut out a lot of these. He was playing these crosses well. He's obviously huge. It's hard to avoid him. These crosses across the box, you have to cut them basically within an inch to get to guys. There's a lot of bodies in there. Mm-hmm. But not good enough. 65th minute, Messi free kick, well off. We saw this. He had a few free kicks.
Man, a few. I mean, this free kick, again, off. Another one of 2 minutes later, 68th minute. And just didn't take advantage. These are in his spots. Every free kick Messi had today or on that day was in his spot. Like, that's his range.
Close, he can
make that happen. Like
right outside of the box. Perfect. Yeah.
And not too close, you know, like 2 yards away from the 18-yard box, giving him time to loop it over. He just couldn't put it on target. The conditions may have played a factor. I don't know.
Didn't have it. And then, remember, one of my keys to the game would Vinicius be Finicius? Would he finish his chances this game? The answer was no. 66th minute, Modric recovers the ball on his edge of his own box, and this might have been the best one. The left-footed pass over the whole defense. He beats 8 guys with this ball, bounces it over, Vinny's in, and then Ter Stegen. It was such a brilliant ball that Ter Stegen actually is out of position. He's running backwards into his spot, and Vinny, all he's got to do is just take a shot. It would be an incredible save from a backpedaling keeper in a flood. And Vinny doesn't take a crack, though. He tries to square it awkwardly to Benzema. And the chance, once again, is gone. It's somehow still 2-1.
Yeah, in these conditions, which tells you, like, anything can happen in just the next 30 minutes.
Shot, man. Take a shot, man. And then this would be it, basically, for the big Madrid chances. And this was probably the biggest one, the Cruz header, of course, infamous for me in this game. It just caused so much consternation later on. Cleared corner. Asensio puts in a killer left-footed early cross. And then Vinny, the layoff, jumping header down to Cruz. And the attention paid to Vinny and Ben's on the far post means Cruz is all alone, Peyton. There's nobody within miles. He's 6 yards out. It's a training ground. It's like you're alone at the training ground 3 hours before practice, where all you're just doing is just by yourself.
Your assistant coach is just tossing up with two hands, like a basket toss to you to head it into the post, a far post.
Yes. And actually, Ter Stegen had fallen down and was off frame at this point due to the chaos. So he has Cruz has the goal at his mercy and somehow gets it all wrong and puts it 3 yards off frame. An incredible miss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Impressive.
Remarkable. Remarkable. But great job, Mingesa, just being there.
I guess so. I love Ray Hudson here. He said, you'd put your beating heart on him finishing that, and you'd be dead.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I thought, again, this would have been another 3-1. I mean, this game really could have been 5-1.
Yeah. And then it turns. 69th minute, Messi immediately on the counterattack, fouled on the edge of the box. Another
one. Bad. Looked like he was hurt.
Yeah, and another free kick for Messi, but it's easily cut out.
By that big old wall.
Yeah, tons of free kicks. And then another one, dangerous, but just wide. The chances had started at this point. The siege on Madrid had begun.
Yes, and so we started to attack and bang on that door, seeing if it would fall down. It was a war of attrition for the last 20 minutes.
The rain was coming down. Yeah, it was like the Battle of Helm's Deep. At this point, the hordes of orcs from Barcelona against the children with knives of Real Madrid, especially. Cruz and Benzema taken off 72nd minute. I think so they didn't die of hypothermia.
At this point, I should mention, since you mentioned your sub, that Sergio Roberto has come on to replace Sergi Busquets in the 64th minute.
Yes. So Mariano and Isco on, and basically our two best players off, and then Vinny off as well, who looked, you don't know how skinny Vinny is until he's soaked, because I was like, wait, that's Vinny? Man, he's a little guy. Marcelo on, so adding a defender, taking off an attacker. Good idea.
And Elias Moriba comes on at the same time for Ronald Araujo. So
good call. Good call, because 75th minute, it's a brilliant ball by Messi, slinging him in all game. He's deep, not pressured, to that man, Elias Moriba, 5 yards out. Ooh, and gets a header right on target.
Would have been so nice. What a great ball in from Messi to find Elias. The well-built 18-year-old Elias Moriba flying into that box. Man, I love this kid so much. And we'll probably talk about the Casemiro foul on Messi later on when Elias kind of gets in his face. But he's a fiery young lad who plays with passion. And he's another one of these guys. He, Oscar, Pedri, Puig, Ansu Fati, may we not forget. This is our team for the next decade, and I'm very excited that he's part of it because he's such a good competitor, and he's been dangerous.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Just can't quite get this header powerful enough and in the right position. He does what he can with it. It's kind of difficult. It's a crowded box, so it ends up being a bit weak. Falls to the feet of Courtois.
Yeah, but. My goodness. Lots of chances here. That was the first good one. My heart is totally in my mouth at this point.
It's Barca from here on out, guys. It's Barca from here on out.
Yeah. Marcelo, good work to give Mariano a chance, but he never looks up. Mariano does not look up. he had a runner to his right. Odriozola almost scores off a cross.
This is akin to the Messi Olympico where you don't expect it happening. You're like, wait, whoa, that almost went in because Ter Stegen gets caught off guard, expecting the cross. Odriozola, I believe, was expecting a cross. And instead, it's about to float into the goal, far post. So Ter Stegen has to take a step back and swipe it out for the corner kick.
And it was in.
You're muted.
Am I okay now?
You're good now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it was an incredible save.
Mm-hmm.
It was just barely the spin on the ball from Adrian Sola was taking it right into the top of the net. Incredible by Ter Stegen. And then 80th minute, I love this. They show Messi, and the poor little guy, he's just shivering right at the.
He's got hypothermia. It's clear as day. These conditions aren't meant for humans.
Just look like a little, like a chihuahua that you leave out.
Yes, a chihuahua that you've backed into a corner. And he's like shivering. He needs to get his jersey replaced. I mean, it's not safe.
No. So, yeah, he's changing his jersey. Barcelona's getting some guys onto the field. Pedri, Dembele out. Trincao, Brathwaite on.
Thank you. Yes.
Lots of changes. I think everyone had made all of their subs, which was interesting. Yep. Five subs each for both teams.
Never happens with either of these.
No. Teams, You'll see Zidane sometimes one sub, but an eye to Liverpool. That was a strange thing about Zidane. He had an eye towards Liverpool in a Clásico.
Wow. Yeah.
Which you never see. Asensio, 83rd minute, tries to cut out the ball. Oh, boy. It ends up caroming perfectly. It's just a great through ball to Alba. Mm-hmm. Accidentally plays it across goal. Thibaut comes out. I gasp because the ball is just rolling across the goal.
Well, it's like, what choice did Alba make in this moment? This is another one, just like that 63rd minute where he had Pedri wide open on the 6-yard box. Just didn't see him or didn't find him. Take the shot, first of all. The keeper's coming out. You're basically alone on goal. If you loft that over him or around him, it's a goal.
And he's then out. We have come out.
Yeah, Courtois has come out. He's exposed himself. The goal is open. So put that shot on goal. You beat the defense. You're alone. And then Brathwaite is wide open. Just 7 feet to your 7 yards to your right in the center of goal. Find him. Instead, Alba splits the difference between a shot and a cross, and it just rolls into oblivion.
Yeah, it's rolling. It's almost, it's rolling towards the corner in a very non-dangerous area. Brathwaite gives chase, as does Mendy. And then Mendy makes the executive decision as the ball's basically going to roll out of bounds to go, hang on, let me just give Brathwaite a high five just to let him know how well he's done.
Man, there's controversy here.
This
of
is
course.
The quote-unquote controversy, yes.
Yeah, Ronald Koeman thinks this is the reason we lost, according to his, among the two reasons we lost, both of which being attributed to the referee. But for me, it's not a penalty. Did I want it to be called a penalty? Yes, I was pleading. That's a penalty at the time, of course, because we need it. But it's like a jockey for position more than it is a tug. Where
I mean,
it's
how
like
often do you
battle.
See this called? It's very. You guys are using their arms all up in each other all the time.
No, I would have been so mad if that was called the other direction. Just as I'm upset about Ramos getting the penalty in the last game when he fell the opposite direction of the way he was tugged, if you'll recall. From Longley.
I don't remember, but I'm sure it was a foul.
It did happen where Longley had a hold of his jersey and Ramos fell the opposite way.
Oh, he did grab the jersey, though.
Yeah, he grabbed the jersey, but it didn't bring Ramos down. Ramos flailed to the ground away from the tug. But in this one, it's so soft. I accept non-pen call. I don't think it should have been a penalty. It's at best like a light touch of the wrist or the arm. Brathwaite's feeling it. He knows nothing's coming of this play. It's the best hope he has of getting a result from the play. So he goes down
like a fresh fish.
VAR doesn't even look at it, which is maybe a reason for some contention. But for me, no need. Gil was on it. He saw it. It's not a penalty. Yeah. And we shouldn't be complaining for
it. You could hear Gil saying over his radio, like, nope, don't bother. Yeah.
And I hate to say it, because I want it to be so badly, but it wasn't.
Yeah. And then 85th minute, Alba and Koeman, you could have set your watch to it, get their customary yellow cards for arguing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Time and again, his 9 of his last 12 for complaining. And we'll talk about it more after this. But go ahead.
Strap in, because here's the last 5 minutes and heart palpitations aplenty. It's a bad foul by Casemiro on the edge of the box on Mingueza. It's his second yellow. He had just committed one.
In 2 minutes, right?
A moment earlier, I believe, on Messi. And it's a bad spot. It's right outside. It's right where Messi can curl it in. So we're down to 10 men. We're out without one of our defensive leaders. Messi's got a great free kick opportunity. And Barcelona have been all over us already.
Not to mention you're down a man, and we might have 10 minutes of added time because Gil Manzano took like 5 minutes to fix his watch situation due to the rain. Wow.
I totally missed that.
Oh, really?
Was it the same time Messi was getting his shirt?
Yeah. No, and it wasn't 6 minutes. It was just over 2. But yeah, Gil Manzano, it was that same time. Messi was stayed off the pitch longer changing his jersey than Gil took fixing his technical issue.
Okay. Yeah, but you guys only end up getting, so we're 90th minute now. Messi's setting up for the free kick. The time card comes up for extra time, and it's 4.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So
it's a lot of Barcelona fans.
Another point of contention. And remember, as the game ended and Pique was standing on the side of the pitch, Modric walking off saying, "What are you doing? Oh, you're getting ready to complain to the ref?
You're here to moan?" Yeah.
yeah. You're here to complain. And Pique said, "Well, 4 minutes." And Modric says, "How much time do you want?" yeah. And leaves, which is so appropriate. I hate that we got burned that way, but it's so true because Pique, just like Jordy, cannot help himself around the ref, but he argues every single decision that goes against us. And if you look at statistically, so I got a breakdown on the Barca subreddit of, oh, there was 11 minutes in total that were wasted during the game. And they're like, listen, that's average. On average, we actually have about like 75 minutes of gameplay during the game. You never get equal added time added on at the end of the time. It's
usually
not
three.
Exactly. Like 4 is if there's been weird delays during the game. That's
they don't
when you
actually
get 4 minutes.
Count it. Yeah.
No, and I mean, like, if you want it to be that accurate, then we'll have a stop and start clock system where we will like pause it when the play isn't running.
You just pause it, yeah.
But this is tradition. I mean, 4 minutes is as much as you can really hope for, unless someone's like had a compound fracture and it took 10 minutes to get him off the pitch. 4 minutes, fine. That's to be expected. The only reason we're complaining is because we needed more.
Yeah, and oh boy, did you guys pack in a lot of chances into that 4 minutes. So, hey, you can't say you guys didn't get your money's worth because 90th plus one, Messi lines up the free kick. I'm peeing my pants because off his boot, it looks great. It's in the top corner, the top right corner. The only thing is it's a little slow.
It's a little central as well. It's not quite in the top ends. Courtois is just too big of a keeper.
Slaps it down to himself. Easy save in the end.
Also, I think that the wind is in his face and that whipping rain, it's pushing away from the goal.
I can't imagine how difficult.
Yeah.
Facing a messy free kick in the rain at the end. Man, Thibaut did a great job keeping this game 2-1. Honestly, might be man of the match for me.
he does some more stuff. Yes. 90 plus 2, Moriba has Alba on the overlap, but chooses to shoot, and it's well over. So I'm going, this is it. That, honestly, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, he wasted it. We can dribble out 2 minutes, right? Nope.
Yeah, and Elish had Alba running down the left wing on that play. He could have sent it into the crowd of people because we have like 7 players on 4 in the middle of the box on that play. So maybe send it into the crowd. Elish goes for glory and doesn't quite strike it well. So you think, hey, maybe we just wasted our last chance. But no.
Yep. Nope. Tebow, 90 plus 3. Tebow, long ball. This is really cool. Interesting here.
I swear to God, I thought we were going to get that betting line. I was like, I hate that this is going to happen, but I'm glad it's happening. The game we're both very attentive on.
So as the ball is hit about 70, 80 yards by Tebow, Marcelo starts sprinting into the box. Mariano, a brilliant header, chip, passes it along over Mingueza, and Marcelo is in. He's one-on-one with Ter Stegen, but my goodness, Mingueza.
Play the game.
Gets a little foot in and tackles the ball away. Incredible. Incredible.
What a great poke from Mingueza. Desperate defending. It was a Hail Mary choice. He's either getting the ball or giving up a penalty there. Luckily, he makes sole contact with the ball to get it to Ter Stegen. Great play by the young man. Absolutely. And
once again, another chance.
Our player of the game. Oscar was our player of the game. Messi, of course. And as the Barca subreddit always says, man of the match other than Messi. Oscar Mingueza.
Yes. For sure. And then, so now I'm thinking, okay, well, that's too bad. There manages to be another chance in the 90th plus 3. They get, I think Alba gets a good cross it for Brathwaite, who gets a fierce header, but it's well wide. And once again, I'm like, okay, so it's definitely over now, right? That's gotta be it. They can't possibly get another chance. But no, 90th plus 4, Peyton. Elish Moriba taken down at the halfway line. So, oh, fuck. There's going to be a free kick. One of these last gasp Hail Marys you see. Ter Stegen comes up for it.
All out. Got to go all up.
And Messi takes the free kick from about the halfway line. And of course, because it's Messi, in the wind, doesn't matter. It's a great ball. It's dangerous. It's right onto the head of Longley, who gets a great header across the box. I mean, the accuracy of these balls right here, I can't overstate how good these are. In the wind, in the rain, to get the ball directly to Elish Moriba, who is not marked in the middle of the box. He's got space, chests it down to himself. Gets off a rocket of a shot.
Off on a volley. Just chests it down to the volley.
One what skill.
Who does he kick that around? Is it Nacho or is it Mendy? I think it's Mendy. That he kicks. He somehow cranes his long right foot around. Gets that volley. I mean, he's marked. There's a man on him. And
yeah,
he,
by the time he chests it, it's marked, yeah.
Chest down, volley, rocket, Courtois, nothing beaten to do with it, slams off the crossbar.
And it slams off the underside, almost, of the crossbar, so it's at a downward angle, falls to stake it.
Let's see it. Let's make history, baby.
Who shoots on goal, but it's terribly wide. But Trincao is there to block it.
Wisely.
Wisely blocks it because it would have been horribly off target. We find out later from the replay. It rebounds to Alba, who again controls the ball off his chest, fires a left-footed shot. And this is a good shot, too. It's not over by much, but it is just over. And Real Madrid fans everywhere. I think several Real Madrid fans had their last breath here because,
yeah,
the 80-year-old, 90-year-old guys, I hope they made it, because this was unbelievably stressful. What was it like for you, Peyton?
Heartbreaking at the end, obviously. We had so many good chances going down the stretch. And then Elish, what an instant legend he would have become at the club to get us the 1-point results that would have us tied atop La Liga right now had we not dropped that. Or we would have been down a point, just like you guys are. But yeah, devastating. Elish Moriba gave it his all. Almost got it in the end. Messi did everything he could for us in this game, besides finish 0-for-7 on the day shots in his last this season against Real Madrid, 0-for-21 shots on goal.
Whoa, good stat.
And has not scored in 7 El Clasicos now. It has been his last time scoring against Real Madrid. He was playing against Cristiano Ronaldo.
Right. Weird. So strange. But Real Madrid get the win in the classic. A classic Clasico, has to be said. Mm-hmm. We were provisionally up, or we were tied on points at the top of the table. Atletico Madrid managed to eke out a draw. So Atletico Madrid now, after 30 rounds, stand 1 point, just the one, above Real Madrid in second on 66, Barcelona in third on 65. Should we mention what 538 thinks about all this?
Yeah, whatever 538 is worth anymore with this. But yeah, let's mention it.
538 thinks Barcelona still have a 50% chance to win La Liga, to Real Madrid's 33%, and Atleti's 17%. My goodness. Quite the
bias. They also have Juan Laporta's 70% chance he's the handsomest man in the world.
Yeah, there's definitely some sort of bias here. The other interesting stat I wanted to say from the game, the expected goal from the game. If you thought this was an even game, you would be right. XG dead even, 1.6 to 1.6.
That never happens. And I noticed on 538 that there was that expected goal for shots and then just an expected goals in general. The expected goals for shots was dead even, and the expected goals not based on shots was like 2 for Real, 4.1 for Barcelona.
I just use the shot one. I don't know what the other
I don't understand what it means either. But so I just want to throw that out there. I don't get what that metric is for. But
Football Ref only uses shot based.
Okay.
So
I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't even know what that other one. It's probably based on possession. Mm-hmm.
You do nothing with possession, this is what happens. And this was another control the ball to no end with no results in the final third for us besides that Mingueza finish.
Yeah, so I'll do some quick awards. Obviously, Peyton gave you his man of the match. Got to go with man of the match. It's close, but I'm going to give it to Benz. 3 shots, obviously had the goal, a 93% passing, 26 to 28, had a key pass, and obviously, 19th goal this season. He's been the player of the year so far, so might as well throw it to him, give him the man of the match performance from the big Frenchman. And then shout out to Toni Kroos and Luka Modric, especially Modric, just had some absolutely gorgeous passes. I remember about 3 that just sliced you guys. Wide open.
Yeah, nothing cut as deep as that burn he gave Piqué at the end of the game when he was waiting to complain to the ref. And then apparently there was almost a bit of a scuffle in the tunnel leaving the game, only broken up by Sergio Ramos. Apparently he was the mediator between the two sides to have it come to a peaceful resolution. Both teams left to their individual locker rooms. Because Sergio Ramos played peacekeeper, which shows a lot of growth, I think.
Mr. Red Card. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe all those injuries, he's finding some time to himself, maybe getting into meditation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seeing that we're all connected, Peyton.
Exactly. We are all connected. You and I are all God.
Yes, we are all one.
I think Komen needs to do some meditation because he had nothing really constructive to say about our performance or about his ideas and plans going into the game. He blamed this loss solely on the ref. He said, "We lost this game because of reffing. If you're a Barcelona fan, you should be upset. I don't know why there is VAR in Spain," Koeman said after this. But here's the deal. We didn't lose this game because of refereeing. And I want to say this to Koeman, to PK, to Alba, to Barcelona fans listening to this podcast. We did not lose this game because of refereeing. We could have tied this game due to refereeing, but we did not lose this game because of it. Right. We could have gotten a point if he had given us that penalty, which probably wasn't one. Maybe if he had given us an obscene amount of extra time up a man, we could have gotten another one. But that's not on the ref. That's on Barcelona. We lost this game because of the way we performed in the first half.
Yeah.
Solely. After that second half, got it together, bringing Griezmann on, switching to the 4-3-3, better. We just didn't play well enough to get a victory in this game. That's something that Koeman needs to look inside of himself about, not blaming it on the ref. I feel like he's using it as a scapegoat so that he doesn't get the blame and is forced out at the end of the season by Laporta.
Which now looks likely. And I mean, just anyone watching it, I mean, why is it that Real Madrid basically had their best offensive games of the year against Barcelona?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be doing something wrong.
Yeah, well,
I mean, Real Madrid are not an offensive juggernaut this year.
No, by no means. We have like 15 more goals than you guys do this year or something. But it was just so convoluted and unorganized in the back for us that we are susceptible to any counterattack from any team in La Liga this season. For whatever reason, yeah. And young players also play in the back between Araujo and Mingueza. Longley was our best defender, and he's been our worst defender so far this season. So that should tell you something about the way we played. Koeman didn't have the right idea coming into this game. We know that we saw the game change when we reverted to the 4-3-3 in the second half, bringing Griezmann on for all of his faults. He does provide apparently some good teamwork, like playing, creating space for players who will actually do something with the ball. Dembele did not do himself any service in this game.
He might get the Razzie.
Yeah, absolutely. Could not do anything on the ball. Tried to do too much with it when he did. I just had no good ideas. So disappointing from Dembele. He's been with us for 4 years. So maybe this would have been his breakout game. It wasn't. I think the fan base is starting to get a little tired and a little like, when is he ever really going to turn out? Or is this inconsistency the only consistent thing about him?
Man, that stinks too, because he just has some absolutely brilliant goals this year. But it's it's the consistency.
Exactly. We need him to perform when we need him to. And he hasn't been able to do that.
All right. Well, hey, if you trust 538, it's still smooth sailing for Barcelona. But if you live in the real world, it is a legitimate three-way race, Peyton, which we haven't seen in, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, 5 or 6 years at least in La Liga.
That's right. It is sitting 67 points for Atletico Madrid, who just eked out that tie against Real Betis, but lost Joao Felix and Kieran Trippier in the process. So more flat tires for Real Madrid after winning this game, a point behind at 66. Barcelona third at 65. Real Madrid, the fate in their own hands going forward.
Is that right? Or we need Athletic to lose.
Well, we
don't play Athletic again.
We do. And I bet we win that game.
Yeah. So yeah, we're hoping. Yeah, we need a little help from Barcelona. But yeah, we have the head to head now, obviously, on both teams, both Athletic and Barcelona. So if there's a three-way tie, Real Madrid are gonna be champions. But it's just incredibly exciting. This hardly ever happens. So we can't wait to keep watching these down the stretch. But of course, Real Madrid
down is a game ahead.
Down even more men, of course, on Wednesday have a massive Champions League game. It's like it's almost like a Survivor competition for Real Madrid. Like one guy gets knocked off every week. Can we still play soccer?
And I sent Mark an article today that I was reading about Real Madrid, about the players are just at the end of their ropes right now, how they cannot do anything in training. Their training sessions are just recovery physio sessions.
It's just baths.
Yeah, exactly. Ice baths, Epsom salt baths, and then a Turkish bath and go
deep,
home.
Deep tissue massages. They throw on some soccer movies. I don't know. Maybe they watch All or Nothing.
Mean Machine.
Yeah, man, because this one's going to be tough. So Valverde is fit. He limped off at the end of the game.
He looked bad after the game. Yeah, like after the game when they were going to the locker room, Valverde had quite a hobble to him.
Yeah, he was hopping, yes. He's back, but Lucas is dead. So, we're going to see some Odriozola, baby. Get your engines revving because there's going to be some mistakes. There's going to be some chances. The young man can dribble the hell out of the ball. But he's good for one massive fuck-up per contest. So, Liverpool, Mosala, if you're listening, get excited. I guess you're going up against our young right back. Madrid, 81% to advance per 538. Seems about right. They got the 3-1 advantage after the first leg.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about dropping big leads to Liverpool in the Champions League.
Certainly.
I say, don't worry about it. Play your backups. Don't pay attention to corner kicks either.
Oh, God. Definitely not Divock Origi. You definitely don't want to worry about that guy.
Who?
Yeah, I don't know. So the problem with that first leg is it Liverpool's away goal obviously is bad. So Liverpool can win 2-0 and win the tie. Madrid dominated the first match, 2.2 expected goal to 0.8. Liverpool had one shot on target that they freaking made. This is going to be a sweaty one. I'm going to say it. We've seen the last two games Real Madrid have faded badly. And I predicted this. I said we would fade badly at that Barcelona game. I thought we'd finish 2-2. I was a crossbar away. I'm happy I was wrong. And that first Liverpool game, we faded badly. Our guys are beat.
yeah
so and yet he has to run out a lot of the same guys because they're all that's left.
I mean, really, the Real Madrid in a historically injured season, now losing even more players, it's like, how can you field a full team at this point?
And yet, challenging for every honor. This is why Zinedine Zidane might be the greatest coach in our history.
Yeah.
I mean, not Copa del Rey, but I don't care about that.
He's not Lopetegui, but...
Mr. 14-game Lopetegui. But who's going to play in this one? It's actually kind of interesting. So, Kroos, Vinny, and Benzema were taken off early, I think, to preserve them for this game. So, I think they're all going to start. So I think, I mean, Vinny's just been absolutely murderous mood. to opposing defenses. So I think Vinny's going to start on the left, Benzema up top. I don't know if Asensio. Yeah, I think Asensio is probably going to play.
I bet he gets it since he didn't last game.
Yeah, and he probably deserved the start last game. Valverde injured last game. He's available, but I don't think he's going to start. So I think it's going to be the old guard. Who else? Cruz, Case. Oh, wait. Yes, no, the suspension doesn't count.
Yeah, this is Champions League. Don't worry.
Doesn't count. Cruz, Case, Modric, the legendary midfield that's been playing together for the past 7 years. And then here's the interesting bit. Does Marcelo get the start? Because Mendy's just played every minute of the season.
And he didn't play particularly well in El Clasico.
No, he had a lot of... So I'm going to say Marcelo starts. And then Nacho, Militao, who have been absolutely... blown me away.
Necessarily blown me away. They had no other option. You were have to count on those two.
Incredible. Nacho, Militao across the back line, and Odriozola, of course, and Big Tebow at the back. I think this is going to be a sweaty one, as I mentioned. I'll bet Liverpool come out. I'll bet they score two before we get one.
Ooh. There's
all sorts of stuff swirling. I'll bet we come out flat, and then I'll bet who else but Benzema gets us a goal like 87th minute or something, like we've done all year, and we get the one away goal, and we end up, and that'll put us clear. Because Liverpool would need to either match 3-1 or win 2-0. 3-1 would put into overtime, of course, and I'll bet we just squeak by on that away goal.
Yeah, it would be nice to see.
I mean, we would be ahead on aggregate, but yeah.
Klopp complained so much about the Alfredo Di Stefano. So it'd be nice to see Real Madrid come in and beat them in Anfield, where they would have no complaints about the field conditions.
Yeah. Also, like, what is with all these just man up. These coaches complaining about the training. There's no fans, dude.
What do you want? A massage chair on the bench?
I did not get a hot dog.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted a Dijon mustard. I got nothing. So come on. And then Koeman complaining about the refs. Just be like Zidane and just say, I didn't motivate my players. Always owns up to it.
No, man. Honestly, that was the most disappointing thing for me at the end, besides losing, was Koeman just solely blaming the ref, saying the ref is the reason we lost, because that to me is deflecting responsibility, saying no decisions I made had an impact on the outcome of this game, whereas you know they do. It's, and I hope that he realizes it's not actually Gil's fault that we lost this game. it was his planning. He got outcoached. Zidane, he's a master. He knows what he's doing with his boys over there at Real Madrid. Koeman's still tinkering with this squad. He tinkered with this starting lineup, and it cost us dearly.
Yeah, and another tactical masterclass from supposedly Mr. No Tactics, Zinedine Zidane.
The only tactic you need against us is start Valverde, apparently.
Right, yeah. That was his one big move, and he did it brilliantly. So yeah, all for this. Yeah, just supposed to be just a brilliant man manager. Nope, he nailed his tactics against Klopp. He nailed them once again against Barcelona after doing it in the first leg. So yeah,
when it counts, yeah. And that's in his DNA. That's what he does. He shows up on the biggest stages of the game and headbutts his way to the top.
Oh boy. maybe just not that one game. About that.
Aside from the one.
Do you have anything else for El Clasico?
No, not at the moment. If I have anything to gripe about, I'll tweet about it. So follow us at El Clasico Podcastico on Twitter. Barcelona will be playing Athletic Bilbao, the Lions of Basque Country, for the Copa del Rey final next weekend. No La Liga game for us this coming weekend, just the Copa final.
Ooh, so we'll get ready for that on Friday.
We'll talk about that, yeah, on the recap, on the pre-Capico, the preview on Friday. So look out for that. That's going to be coming to you. Please, give us some 5-star reviews and a kind rating if you have the time. We certainly love you, and we love you for listening. Send us an email to elclassicopodcastico@gmail.com.
Hopes, your fears, your regrets.
Mm-hmm.
And a la Madrid.
And visca el Barça.
Let's go.
We can still do it. We're not out of it yet.
One point back. Come on.
Yeah.